Well, today we're going to be going on a journey. We're going to be traveling the road less traveled. And in order to travel down this road, we need to pay attention to the road signs. Do you guys ever do that? What are some of the road signs that we see? You know, I know there's a stop sign, yield sign, maybe a dead end sign. I had a good excuse. I thought I could tell with the highway patrolman in the audience before that I didn't see the sign. I didn't know how fast I was going. Yes, I realized I was speeding. Sorry. You know, don't we do that sometimes a lot too as we travel down the road? When I delivered lumber many years ago down at Porter's in Cameron, sometimes they would tell me directions, but they wouldn't tell me the streets, or they wouldn't tell me the signs. They would just say, well, you turn left by the red barn, or you go down to the old Smith farm and it's on the right. Okay, how do you... I have no idea what you're talking about, but okay, and I would usually find the destination. Have we traveled that way before as well? Sometimes we travel by landmarks instead of the signs. And in Matthew chapter 7 today, this is a conclusion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It began in Matthew chapter 5, and throughout his sermon, he talked about many issues. He tells us about judging others. He talks to us about praying. And now here in Matthew chapter 7, he wants us to realize when we're traveling down the road of life that perhaps we need to pay attention to the signs. So if you have your Bibles and your electronic devices, and if you would like to stand as we read God's word from Matthew chapter 7, starting with verse 13 through 27. Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. Beware the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall. The result was that when Jesus had finished these words, the multitudes were amazed at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one having authority and not as their scribes. You may be seated. So first of all, in these first two verses back in 13 and 14 of Matthew 7, it says, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small, and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. And so we see perhaps the first sign that we would see as we travel on this road is the detour, that we're to take the narrow road. And so we look first at the wide gate, as it says in those verses there. Jesus tells us that the road to destruction is broad. Why is it so wide? Why do so many people enter it? Maybe it's wide because it's easy. You know, living life like everybody else is very easy, isn't it? You just follow the crowd, do whatever the crowd wants you to do. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, for many walk, of whom I have often told you, and now tell you that even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Paul says in these verses that he is weeping because the folks are destroying themselves. And the hardest part is that they don't even realize it. You know, it's cool, and we see that throughout life. People say things like, it's cool to grab all the gusto you can get. It's cool to be this way. It's cool to be that way. You know, when you get married, maybe you don't have to have a, you have to have a bachelor party or sow your wild oats, which is not necessarily true. A lot of people do not do that. But some people do before they settle down. So the gate is wide sometimes because it's easy. Maybe the gate is wide because it's popular. You know, I've heard the saying, be there or be square. The road is wide because people want to be somewhere. People want to follow the crowd. Nobody wants to be lonely. Nobody wants to be like themselves. Maybe the gate is like, for some reason, that commercial with the Roach Motel goes through my mind, but sometimes maybe it's like that. You know, what's that slogan? Roaches check in, but they don't check out. You know, maybe the road is like that. You want to follow. It's irresistible or something irresistible. You want to go there. You want to stay there. It's the same way with the wide gate. And people think there's something irresistible, so everything else is doing it as they would, not realizing that they're about to be destroyed. And so let's look at the narrow gate, and Jesus tells us that few find it. Why is it that few find it? Well, perhaps it's because no one has shown them where it is. Friday night, I took the Osborne and Sturgeville cheerleaders up to Graham for the football game, and I noticed there were several ways I could have went. I could have went up through the country, up through Rosendale, and went, you know, on a narrow road, or I could have taken the big road. So we got on Highway 36, big wide road, four lanes, plenty of room. You know, it's easy, it's popular. Everybody was going that way. Get on I-29, get on 71. Finally, you turn and go to Graham, and you're on this little narrow path up and down hills until you arrive at your destination. And so maybe everybody takes the wide gate because no one wants to find the narrow one. You know, Romans 10:14, it says, how then shall they call upon him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And so if we want people to go through the narrow gate with us, then we need to tell them where it is and where it can be found. People can't find out about Jesus if we are not the ones to tell them about it. You know, perhaps people don't want to change their life. We need to tell them to, but maybe they don't want to change. It's hard to take the narrow road. It's bumpy. It's rocky. And sometimes we see the wide path and we think, well, why don't we go that way? Look how easy it is. No one said following Christ was easy. It's hard enough to let him be in charge. And we do because we realize that he is the one in charge. When we're in charge, it's like we're always slipping and falling, right? We're always falling down. We always have some obstacle because life isn't easy. Sometimes there's thorns and thistles that bring us down. Sometimes we forget to duck and maybe something like a tree branch or something might hit us in the face. But we continue on the narrow road through the narrow gate because it is right. In Psalm 16:11, it says, "Thou wilt make known to me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy." Psalm 25:10 says, "All the paths of the Lord are loving kindness and truth." It is right because it leads to life. And so we see that the wide gate leads to destruction, but the narrow gate leads to life. So we're going to take a detour today. We're going to get off the broad path. We're going to get on the narrow road, find a narrow gate that leads to life. We will show you where it is. Don't let it slip us by. Take our life on a detour down the narrow road. Secondly, we need to watch out for the false prophets as we see in verses 15 through 20. And so we could say we're watching out for falling rocks. You know, the false prophets appear to be safe, just like traveling among cliffs appears to be safe. And I thought of our hometown, Kyle and I's hometown of Hannibal, and there's a particular road on Highway 79 as you drive down by the river, and it says, watch out for falling rocks. So as a kid, I used to be amazed, and I'd try, I'm going to look for rocks. But nothing would ever fall, and it always disappointed me because they wouldn't fall while I was looking. But I'd come back a few days later, maybe a week later, and there'd be rocks there. And I was like, oh, man, I missed it. But, you know, sometimes they would fall. And so the false prophets Jesus mentions are powerful people, but they move in subtle ways. And Jesus said that they come to us in sheep's clothing. You know, what can be more harmless than sheep? Sheep aren't known for hurting people. Although I do remember in the 4-H, sometimes I showed pigs, but I remember the people that showed sheep sometimes would get hurt because the sheep wouldn't let them do what they needed to do. It would drag them across the arena and all these different things. But we know that sheep do not hurt people, or sheep are not known for hurting people. And false prophets are invited in because they're a gentle manner, but they have something more destructive in mind. And an illustration I thought of was, when I was a kid, I used to watch a lot of Looney Tunes. And even this morning, I looked at it because I had this thing going through my mind. And you see Ralph, the wolf, which is Wile E. Coyote, and Sam, the sheepdog. You know, Ralph clocks in, and he says good morning, and Sam clocks in, and he says good morning, and then they both go about doing their work. Ralph tries to grab all the sheep he can, and Sam tries to keep him from doing that. You know, Ralph floats on balloons across the pasture, Sam shoots the balloons down. All the different things happen. And that's the same way it is with false prophets. You know, the false prophets have something more destructive in mind. They're welcomed in because they look like a sheep, they act like a sheep, and so they must be a sheep. And it's the same with false prophets. They appear to be very helpful, but they're out to destroy us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it tells us about two men, Jannes and Jambres, who opposed Moses. And so these men also opposed the truth, men of depraved mind, rejected as regards to faith. But they will not make further progress, for their folly will be obvious to all, as also that of those two came to be. And Paul mentions that some men here in 2 Timothy are not following Scripture. They're trying to change it for their own benefit, and they are false prophets in a sense. And Paul reaches the same conclusion as Jesus. Just as these two men who opposed Moses were found out, so these men will be found out also. And Jesus compared it to fruit in our text here in Matthew chapter 7. By their fruits they will be known. He meant that by looking at their actions, we could tell whether or not they are true or false. You know, we could tell by sheep like to eat grass, wolves like to eat meat, so that could be something right there. When is the last time you saw a sheep that would eat meat or a wolf that would eat grass? You look at their actions and see if it matches the truth. Just as we need to watch for falling rocks, we also need to watch for the fruit of false prophets. People who are being false prophets are a lot like Judas Iscariot. He appeared to be very faithful, appeared to be a faithful disciple of Jesus, yet he betrayed him for 30 pieces of silver. In Luke chapter 22, verse 2, it tells us that Satan entered into Judas. And verse 6 tells us he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. And so we need to watch out for the falling rocks or the false prophets, because you never know where they may fall. And so the road of life is littered with false prophets. Be on the alert for them. Don't let them lead you astray. And also point 3, we need to watch for slow-moving traffic. In verses 22 and 23, it talks about that. This is a sign that we see on the road of life, and that the one that tells us to be careful with our faith. Jesus points out to us that some folks think they can serve God without having a relationship with him. They're going somewhere, but they just aren't sure where they're going. You know, could you imagine being married and never spending any time with your spouse? You know, if I just said hi to Susan and that was all I ever did, didn't spend any time with them or talk to them about their day. You know, after a while, she would say, honey, it's time for you to find somewhere else to live. You know, but we do that a lot with God all the time, don't we? We just put him on the back burner. We don't worry about him. Oh, it's Monday, I'm going to go to work, don't worry about God. Tuesday, oh, now it's hump day, not worry about God. Sunday, oh, I guess I better go to church. I start thinking about God. Well, what did I do all week? I totally ignored him, didn't pay any attention. And you see, that's not how we're supposed to be. You know, sometimes we do many things in the church serving the Lord, but yet we never talk to him, we never spend time with him. We never pray, we never study his words. We never let him lead in our life. We continue to drive down life's road, but however we please, because we think, well, I taught Sunday school this week, or I gave more than anybody else did, so that's great. But we don't take the time to know God or let him know us. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, it says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So we need to have faith in order to follow God. And the people Jesus mentions in our text got caught up in serving God without faith, as if that was a way to please him. And James reminds us in his book, back in James chapter 2, verse 14, what use is it, my brethren, if a man says he has faith, but he has no works? Can that faith save him? And this is just the opposite of the people that are mentioned in Matthew 7. The folks here in James have faith, but yet they have no works. And the type of people that have faith, they have faith that the car will start, but yet they don't have the gumption to get out and make sure that and start it, turn it on, and drive it. The people in Matthew 7 know the car will go, but they don't have the faith that it will start. They think something's happened, the battery's dead or whatever, so they don't try it. They're slow moving because they think they're going somewhere, when in reality, they're going nowhere. And so they don't have a relationship with Jesus. And so we need to make sure that while we are serving the Lord, we also take the time to know the Lord. And sometimes we can get so busy serving the Lord that we forget about our relationship with Him. We need to make sure that we are just as busy getting to know Jesus as we are as when we're serving Him. We also need to watch the exit, and as my fourth point. And in verses 24 and 27 of Matthew 7, it says, "Anyone who hears these words of mine and acts upon them may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against that house. And yet it did not fall, for it had been founded upon the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act upon them will be like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain came, and the floods came, and the winds blew and burst against the house, and it fell, and great was its fall." And so Jesus gives us a great mental picture in these verses. He compares two builders and their building practices. And when taking a journey down the road of life, sometimes we need to take the exit. Sometimes we have to stop for gas or stop for food. You know, we're wise. We realize that we can't reach our destination when our tanks are empty. When we take the detour of the narrow road, we realize that it may take a while to reach our destination. And looking at our text, we realize that a house cannot be built in a day. It could be possible, but there's a lot of work that has to be done. You have to pick the right spot for the house. You have to pour the foundation. You have to pour the footing, the walls out of concrete. You have to let the concrete cure before you can start building that actual house. You have to have a plan as to what the house will look like when it's done. You know, the foolish builder didn't know all this. He thought he could just pick out any spot that was good as any other. You know, why dig below the frost line? Why plan out what it'll look like? Just put your house together, was what he was thinking. After all, there's other things that are a lot more important. And we see that when his house was finished and the storms came and the rains descended, his house fell because it wasn't on a sure foundation. And, you know, there's a lot of people that are building their lives like that. You know, who cares? They think, who cares? They think whatever I want to do is right. It doesn't matter what anyone else thinks. Just like when we take a trip in our car, we make sure before we leave home that our tank's full of gas, as we check the oil. You know, if we're traveling, we notice that we're getting close to empty. We stop at the exit, put in more gas. We don't drive until the car stops because the tank is empty. But yet we see people driving around with their own life and they never stop to put in gas, do they? They just go till it's empty, and then they wonder, well, what happened? And then they start over. They're like the foolish builder. What happened after the storm? Maybe he built his house again on the sand, and once again the storms came and the rains fell, and his house fell down again. You know, maybe he scratched his head and began to build another house until the storm wiped that one out too. We scratch our heads and we wonder where we went wrong. What happened, God? I thought I was following you, and now all of a sudden, I no longer know where I'm at. This is when we realize that there has to be a better way. And we search for that way, and we found the Lord. We rebuilt our house. We rebuilt our life on a solid rock of Jesus. And so we filled our tank up. And this time when the storms came, our houses stood. And as each storm passed, our houses, our lives began to go stronger and stronger. So in conclusion today, we want to thank you for coming. We want to thank you for taking the exit ramp. Hope that you found the spiritual food that you're hungering for. And when traveling down the road of life, make sure that you take the narrow road. Many people are taking the wide road and getting wiped out because they think that's cool. They think that's easy. They think that's popular. They don't realize that they are the fools. And when traveling, watch out for the falling rocks. Watch out for the false prophets. We don't want to see you hurt or embarrassed because you were tricked into following some fable or something that was false. Also, watch out for slow-moving traffic. Let's make sure that all of us are serving God with our faith and our works together, not just our faith and not just works. Let's make sure we're taking the time to know God as we do to know our spouses or our friends. And let's make sure that our tanks are full, that we're working on the foundation of our lives. And we act on the things that, hopefully we act on the things we've heard today. We won't be stranded alongside the road with our hazard lights on, wondering why our life is broken down. So if you're here today and you'd like to know more about Christ, more about the Lord, we hope that you would do that as come forward as we have our invitation hymn and as we pray and sing. And we'll be here for you to pray for you if we need to. Okay, shall we pray? Father God, we thank you for this time we could come and study your word and study your message and what you have to say. And we pray that you'd be with us as we go throughout the storms of life, as we go and travel down the road and all the different things that can happen to us. Help us to remember to take the narrow path and not the broad one, because that leads to destruction. And it's in your name that we pray. Amen.